And 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Extreme heat across 14 states in the Midwest and Northeast. In New York City, they're opening cooling centers as temperatures build. And in Western states, fire crews are battling wildfires. ABC's chief meteorologist, Ginger Z, is tracking the new records and warnings across the country.
Summer temperatures since 1970 have gone up considerably. We're talking about overnight lows, which go up even warmer. A lot of this warming happens while we're sleeping. And then the highs as well, plus 3 degrees in the west and two there through the mid-Atlantic up the northeast.
Juneteenth celebrations today across the country, marking freedom for enslaved people in Texas 2.5 years after the emancipation occurred. Massachusetts officials say the cause of yesterday's outage of the statewide 911 system was due to a firewall meant to guard against a cyber attack. Emergency calls did not go through for 2 hours, but dispatchers could see the numbers of people calling and return those calls. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Today is Juneteenth, which marks the day in 1865 when the last enslaved people in the United States were told they were free. The Juneteenth flag flies over the Wisconsin Capitol in Madison today until sunset. A ceremony yesterday marked the progress Black Americans have made and the challenges they still face. Donald Trump singing Milwaukee's praises at a campaign stop in Racine yesterday after calling Milwaukee a horrible city last week.
They say, oh, he doesn't like Milwaukee. I love Milwaukee. I said, you got to fix the crime. We all know that. You got to make sure the election's honest. But I'm the one that picked Milwaukee.
The Milwaukee crime rate actually fell last year. The Republican National Convention is in about a month. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home.
With news from the center, I'm Joanne Krulatz. An update on the search for 3-year-old Elijah Vu. Two Rivers police say drones and canines have continued to search for the missing toddler. The FBI is checking on national tips at agencies in northeastern Wisconsin, and the Wisconsin Dells and Portage areas are also involved. Investigators stress that social media rumors claiming Elijah has been found are not true. The boy has been missing since February 20th. His mother, Katrina Bauer, and her boyfriend, Jesse Vang, remain jailed on child neglect charges. An evening with the cranes will be held Saturday from 4 to 7 at the International Crane Foundation in Baraboo. Enjoy food and refreshments while meeting local and regional staff and, of course, cranes. Tickets priced at $100 for members and $120 for non-members can be purchased online at savingcranes.org, then click on the Visit tab and then Events. And that's what you need to know. I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Brewers win with a spectacular catch. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 6-3 victory over the Angels. Down by 3, the Angels' Taylor Ward took the ball deep to center field, but there was Sal Frelick to take it in on Bally Sports Wisconsin.
It's the 1-2 pitch. That ball's driven deep right center field. Frelick is there. He leaps and he makes the catch. Oh my goodness. What a play.
Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
It's interesting. We had a conversation in outfield for the game. I talked to two of their players. They were doing a drill. Let me ask you guys something. Is it me or we've had more robbed home runs this year than ever in the existence of the game? And they're like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, yes, we have too. And then the game ends like this tonight.
And Willie Mays has died. In his first ever at bat, Mays hit a home run off Braves pitcher Warren Spahn. He was named to the All-Star team 24 times. Willie Mays was 93. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms are possible. Partly sunny skies and highs in the upper 70s. For tonight, scattered showers and storms and a low of 65. Mostly cloudy, 78 on Thursday with an isolated thunderstorm. For Friday, scattered storms and a high near 87.
It's 73 at our studios.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry.
I can roller skate while walking my dog.
I can even order lunch while doing my homework, but I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's like testosterone and overload and whatever, testosterone.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Crude and Dom.
Tune in for a special hump day edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. Crude and I will get over our Shark Week hangover in one day.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the center, WRCE.
Live on location, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, back at the world headquarters. It is Wednesday, the 19th of June. It is Juneteenth, and we are on location here in Baraboo, Wisconsin at Oxner's Park, celebrating the inaugural Juneteenth celebration here in Baraboo. It is going on until 3 p.m., so if you are in southwest Wisconsin and you want to make a little drive, come on down here and enjoy things at Oxner's Park in Baraboo. A little bit of rain in the area, but not going to be a rain out, a sprinkle or two, so pack a rain jacket or an umbrella, but right now, just kind of cloudy skies and a breeze. It is a beautiful day for those watching on the stream between my friend and colleague Earl Ingram of the Earl Ingram Show, which airs every morning from 8 until 10 on the Civic Media Radio Network. A stage behind us. And Earl, I want these guys to travel with us. It is Roscoe Foster and the Rascal Theory, a band who is just killing it.
You just said a mouthful. Roscoe Foster and what?
The Rascal Theory.
The Rascal Theory.
Yeah.
Well, it certainly doesn't point out how great they are.
Right.
They are absolutely spectacular, man. They're an R&B funk group, and, man, they're lighting up the place.
Yeah, it's a good time to have by all. So come on down, say hi to Earl and myself. We had a great broadcast from 8 until 10. Earl did a great job, and we're going to have folks stopping by from this inaugural Juneteenth celebration here in Baraboo. But right now we are joined, as we are every Wednesday, which, Mr. Zommers, is...
Well, hump day.
You got to get there earlier. Yep.
The camel was late. Mm-hmm. Mr. Kreitlow, Pat Kreitlow of Up North News Radio, every morning from 6 until 8 across the northern part of Wisconsin and parts in between as well, from beautiful Lake Wissota. And also Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joining us from the nation's capital. Gentlemen, happy Juneteenth Day to each and every one of you.
And to you as well. And don't put too much on Mr. Zommers. I saw that camel walking away thinking, well, Todd doesn't need me this week. And then suddenly turns around like, wait.
Yeah, he was on his way out the door.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and the good news is we're here in Baraboo, home of Circus World Museum, and for many years the home of the Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus. So as it turns out, there are a few camels in the neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
If you need one.
Okay.
Trigby Olson, how are things out at the beautiful nation's capital of Washington, D.C.?
It's hot, Don.
All right, it's hot here.
Look at me. I got fleece on. It's finally cooled down here up north.
Really?
Yeah. We're in the the 60s, and the wind. There's actually a little chill in the wind, but we don't have the air conditioning on. It's a beautiful thing. Look at all this money I'm saving.
Good for you. It's still a little sultry. Earl and I are in shorts and T-shirts here, but we're having a great day at Juneteenth. Again, stop on down to Oxford's Park in Baraboo. Gentlemen, glad to have you all here on the day after to use a phrase. The former president, Donald Trump, was in Milwaukee, a city that he said is horrible, yesterday to do a little cleanup on aisle two on those comments and much more. We did not, you know, I don't want to give him too much credit, but I think it's really important to take a couple of these things and break them down and set the facts straight. And I want to begin, Mr. Zommers, with this cut from Donald Trump yesterday in Racine, defending his comments, calling Milwaukee a horrible city.
I love Milwaukee. I was the one that picked Milwaukee, I have to tell you. I was the one that picked it. These lying people that they say, oh, he doesn't like Milwaukee. I love Milwaukee. I said, you got to fix the crime. We all know that. You got to make sure the election's honest. But I'm the one that picked Milwaukee, and the Democrats or the radical left lunatics, as I call them, what they say is just so terrible. They lie. They have a horrible candidate. They have a candidate that has no clue, doesn't know where he is.
I just want to get the first part. Thank you very much.
He does eventually wrap back around to Milwaukee, but as usual, he meanders a lot before he gets there.
It was a lot of lies and untruths. But Trivi Olson, you have run presidential campaigns, a presidential advisor. You work for guys like John McCain. You are a former Republican like myself. You worked at the national level. Set the record straight, Mr. Olson. I don't think there were a lot of choices where to have the RNC this year.
There weren't a lot of choices, number one. Number two, he didn't actually make that choice, so he's kind of taking credit for something that he didn't actually do. And at the end of the day, like, what the campaign coming to Milwaukee, him having to utter that, I mean, it just demonstrates, A, that he likely did say in the congressional meeting that Milwaukee was a horrible place, and B, the campaign understood that was really bad for them in Wisconsin.
Pat Kreitlow?
I am just enjoying, I didn't notice it until during the last hour, that CNN's fact checker, Daniel Dale, I'm going to play this whole 3-minute clip tomorrow morning. he fact checks 30 falsehoods that were told. Yep. At the rally in Racine, 30. And that's Tuesday. That's a regular Tuesday for this guy.
Earl Ingram, you're from Milwaukee. You do your show there. You live in Milwaukee. How's this playing down in southeast Wisconsin?
Well, you know, some of us are not surprised. And the real reason that Milwaukee was selected was because the year before, or a couple of years before, the Democratic Convention was scheduled. For Milwaukee, and COVID took that out. And so all of the pillars were set in place. It was an easy transition for the Republican Party because all of those things had been taken care of because the Democratic Party was scheduled to do their event there. So regardless of what anybody says, the main reason that Milwaukee was chosen, it was all the bricks were in a row, and it was easy for them to transition, and the groundwork had already been done.
Yeah. Pat mentioned it. Daniel Dale at CNN has a great story up right now called Fact Check: Trump Rewrites Wisconsin History in Rally Filled with False Claims. And to Pat's point, a reporter fact checks nearly a dozen facts. One of them at the rally in Racine it says slightly vulgar, surprise, surprise there. But Trump, his familiar lie that he won Wisconsin, which we know he did not. He lost Wisconsin by 20,682 votes. The second was a version of a false claim Trump delivered in 2020 and again in 2022. His assertion, which is false, that he saved the Wisconsin city of Kenosha from destruction in 2020 when Governor Tony Evers, a Democrat, in his words, refused to take action to deal with the civil unrest that followed the police shooting of a black man. I'm going to read part of the quote, not all of it. This is what Trump said, quote, "By the way, you know Kenosha. I saved Kenosha. Do you know that? When I was president, right? Right? I saved it," unquote. That was Donald Trump. Fact check. The claim that Evers, quote, wouldn't move, unquote, and that Trump was the person who, quote, saved Kenosha, unquote, are false. Are false. As numerous fact checkers pointed out when he made the similar claims in 2020, Evers, not Trump, deployed the Wisconsin National Guard during the rioting in Kenosha. And Evers first deployed the Guard the day before Trump publicly demanded that Evers do so. In other words, Trump insisted that Evers do something that he was already doing. Earl, one of your favorite phrases is politics.
Well, no question. Well, you know, to have to explain whether or not there's facts in what Donald Trump has to say at this stage of the game is perplexing to me. Anybody who's been around as long as I have knows who and what Donald Trump is. There are no surprises. So to continue to fact check whether or not Donald Trump is being factual or whether or not he's, you know, spewing falsehoods, it's more than frustrating to me. How long is it going to take before people know who this is, who he is? And so to constantly have to fact check him, he doesn't care. He has no filter. There is no bouncing things off of his brain before they come out of his mouth. And so, you know, that's where we are. So I'm not surprised at anything that he says. I haven't been for 50 years, and it's not going to change.
Pat Kreitlow, you stay with us here until about the 20 after mark. I want to give you a chance to talk about what Earl just said and also the fact that we are here celebrating and marking Juneteenth. I know you've talked about it on your program as well, but your thoughts in the next couple of minutes.
Well, I think, and others have said this as well, you can't, Donald Trump can't talk about Kenosha without us mentioning that he is primarily responsible for stoking the underlying social unrest in the summer of 2020. Aaron Rupar said it in his public notice newsletter on social media. And again, the number of times you could have ended something that Trump said and then ended it by going, wink. We know what Donald Trump is doing. We've known it from the moment that Milwaukee was awarded the convention. And if you think for a moment, you know, what Trump would do if there was even a hint of any kind of resistance. I mean, look at the armed response, all the police in riot gear on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial in May of 2020 ahead of a planned Black Lives Matter protest, compared to what happened on January 6th. So we know the code that Donald Trump loves to speak in, and he loves to sugarcoat it in, you know, I love Milwaukee, but it's not just your actions that speak louder than words. It's the words you're not saying that speak louder than words.
Trevy?
Well, you know, so I make the point periodically that Donald Trump is an autocratic zero-sum actor, right? And one of the things, and I have these seven rules, one of the rules is autocratic actors, whether they're Putin and, you know, Kim meeting up in North Korea, or they're Donald Trump in Kenosha, they live in a truth-free present, right? They'll say whatever they have to say in the moment to survive. And so what you're seeing is Donald Trump saying whatever he thinks he needs to be saying in the moment. And, you know, that's what he's doing. I think he gets misread when we try and draw more into it than that. He's going to say whatever he has to say. It's in his self-interest, because there are no delineations in a zero-sum game that you have in the win-win that's our democracy.
Pat Kreitlow, 30 seconds left. Trigby and I are going to be doing another statewide tour. I understand the state. When's the Northern State Fair?
The Northern Wisconsin State Fair, second week of July. Let's get you up here. Oh. And
are we down for that?
We're down for it.
Okay.
All right, sounds good. We'll be there, Pat. Thank you very much, Pat Kreitlow, every morning from 6 to 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network with Up North News. Thank you, Patrick. Have a great day in Lake Wissota.
See you guys.
Come on back. We have Earl Ingram. We have Trigby Olson and much, much more. We are live from Baraboo here for Juneteenth at Oxner's Park. Stay with us on the Phil Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking.
but it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Tallyball Show, live on location from Baraboo, Wisconsin, at Oxner's Park at the inaugural Juneteenth celebration in Baraboo, along with my friend and colleague, Earl Ingram Jr. Is there an Earl Ingram Sr.?
Junior.
I know, but it has to be a senior, right?
Yeah. My dad.
It's your dad, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So I got Earl Ingram Jr. here with me, your host of the Earl Ingram Show, every morning from 8 until 10 across the Civic Media Radio Network. And from our nation's capital, we have Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. Gentlemen, we're going to get into more with Juneteenth in a minute, but I want to finish up kind of these politic headlines from yesterday with Trump being in Racine, being in Wisconsin. Here is just one more clip from the Trumpster talking about, he's already setting this up, guys. He knows that Joe Biden next week is going to whoop him down there in Atlanta on CNN. He's already pre-spinning the debate. Here's Trump on Racine yesterday.
He's going to be so pumped up. He's going to be pumped up. You know all that stuff that was missing about a month ago from the White House? What happened? Who left it? Somebody left it there. I wonder, let's see, somebody left a laptop in an office of a gentleman who was supposed to fix the laptop from hell. He never picked it up, and somebody didn't pick up hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of cocaine. I wonder who that could have been. I don't know. Actually, I think it was Joe.
All right, so there's Trumpster yesterday, Trigvi Olsen, not basically, accusing Joe Biden of doing drugs, which, of course, we know is not true. Again, as someone who has helped advise candidates on presidential debates as well before in the past, what do you make of this? And is this coming from Chris LaCivita, the guy you know that runs Trump World, or what's going on?
Well, I think that the Trump campaign recognizes that when it comes to integrity and honesty, they have a real problem with the kind of voters they need to win in places like Wisconsin, right? And so, you know, sort of these centrist, put democracy ahead of partisan self-interest kind of voters. And, you know, one of the easiest ways to, if you have a problem like that, is to try and create a mutual equivalence that, you know, take them off the table. If both of them lack integrity, then there's no reason to support one over the other. And I think they have plenty of data, you know, that shows that integrity and honesty are values that those people in places like, you know, where you are today, people live by. And they recognize that Donald Trump doesn't have a lot, so they need to throw smack at Biden to try and say to those voters, oh, well, there's a simple answer. Biden doesn't have any integrity or honesty either.
Yeah. Earl Ingram, again, coming from Milwaukee, your show is based out of there. You're active in your community. You just got another award. Well-deserved. Congratulations for your volunteerism and the difference that you make. You know the black community better than anybody else in Milwaukee. Trump was just in somewhere else here this last week in a quote-unquote black church having a black rally. And when the camera pulled away, there were like about a half a dozen black folks on the stage and a couple more down below. And the rest of the room was about 98% white. Is your community buying what Trump is selling?
Well, so the ignorance that Donald Trump displays is what's amazing to me. You know, you don't have to look very hard or dig very deep to see how ignorant he is. And it's puzzling to me sometimes that the things that come out of his mouth, and yet there are people who buy into that is what's frustrating to me. But this so-called belief that I had somebody call my show the other day and tell me and ask me what I thought about 20% of Black America supporting Donald Trump, and if that's what they're counting on, if they somehow believe that 20% of Black America is going to vote for Donald Trump, well, then stick a fork in them, they're done, if they're counting on that. And I also say this, you know, the Republican Party, even prior to Donald Trump, has always struggled to get higher than 5% of Blacks to support them. Are there Blacks today more so than ever before willing to give Donald Trump a chance? Yes. And a lot of that has to do with very young generation millennials and Generation Zs, I believe it is, who are buying into some of that because they don't know the history of Donald Trump. But those of us who know Donald Trump and his history, there's no way, you know, we're going to support Donald Trump because we know who he is.
Trigvi Olson, you do so much work with the Lincoln Project, and you know numbers better than anybody that I know. Are you seeing what Earl's talking about in the actual numbers, the polls, the focus groups? Are you seeing any traction with Trump, real traction in the Black community?
Well, so surveys have consistently been showing in several of the states Joe Biden performing less well and Trump performing by small numbers better within the African-American community. That said, so there is some quantitative evidence to bear that out. How much that sticks long-term, hard to say. African-Americans, like a lot of Americans across all demographics, are disappointed to a degree with the choices that they have, or they express that. But at the end of the day, I find it really hard to believe that Donald Trump does better with African American voters in 2024 than he did in 2020. I think the other thing is we just did some focus groups in Milwaukee and the Detroit area, including with African Americans. And you know, I was thinking as Earl was speaking, I wish when I was watching the group, I wish that other sets of Americans were being as thoughtful and articulate about what's really at stake in this election as the African American community was in those groups. They were far more informed about the stakes and consequences than a lot of their fellow Americans.
To that point, Trigvi, and we're going to come back and talk about more of this on the other side, but I know Lincoln Project, and help me out, is it United, the offset group of Lincoln Project?
Lincoln Democracy Institute?
Yeah, but you've done some work with Souls, the Polls, which, Earl, I know you've been very integral in.
Oh, the Union.
The Union, thank you. The Union and Souls, the Polls, working together. To Trigvi's point, Earl, do you think that there has been, the evidence seems to prove it, that the Black African-American community in Milwaukee is more informed than perhaps in the past because of groups like yours?
Well, so has there been an erosion in Blacks as it relates to voting for Democrats? Yes, there has. And I've said it before, my parents' generation and the generation before my parents' generation voted Democrat overwhelmingly because the civil rights struggle is what they could relate to. And it was Democrats who helped foster the civil rights movements that changed and impacted the lives of my parents and my parents' parents. But today, that is not the case. There are younger Blacks who don't know that history, don't care about that history. They're looking at their lives right now, and they're struggling. And they're trying, in many instances, there are people who are leading them to believe that it's because of Joe Biden and what he's done.
We're going to come back, talk more with Earl Ingram Jr. And we'll also talk to Trigvi Olson, talking about this the call for violence by Steve Bannon. And speaking of violence, Trigvi, you know the Earl's a Detroit Lion fan. We'll figure all that out on the other side.
I did know that, actually.
It's the Almost Show for a Wednesday on location of Baraboo of the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report, along with you on a Wednesday. Tastier lettuce and heat-resistant cattle. These are products of genetic engineering that could help our food system be more efficient and sustainable. This is according to Beth Alikidis. She's the Vice President of Agriculture with the Biotechnology Innovation Organization. She says the exact science of genetic engineering can bring a lot of value to the food sector.
There is a particular science, especially when it comes to animals, you're looking for one specific gene that you want to either remove or keep. It also have, like, for example, cattle that can withstand temperatures better, you know, they can also withstand drought. And I know that, like, a lot of our farmers are dealing with those type of issues year-round, unfortunately. And so these products would really help, again, animal welfare, and then, of course, also help a farmer's bottom line. I'll also add that it's also very precise. So because, you know, these scientists know exactly what they're looking for in the gene editing process, they're able to be more precise and pinpoint what it is that they either, again, want to cut or keep or flourish.
Beth Alikidis from the Biotechnology Innovation Organization. Hey, stick around. We're going to be taking a look at more agribusiness news next.
One of the most common questions that farmers ask is, why don't we see marketing for our dairy products in our state? Where should we be looking? Tina Peterson, Director of Wisconsin Communications for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin, sheds light on how you can see your checkoff dollars at work.
Well, this is the perfect time of the year for them to ask that. In every media market across the state in June, we have over 57 dairy farm families featured on local news stations telling their dairy story and encouraging consumers to really celebrate June Dairy Month. But outside of Wisconsin is actually where we spend a majority of our efforts. We know that in Wisconsin, we appreciate our dairy farmers and our dairy products, but we really need to grow demand outside of Wisconsin. In fact, 90% of the milk in Wisconsin is made into cheese, and 90% of that cheese is sold outside of Wisconsin. So growing those export markets, growing demand across the United States, whether it's out in Washington or down in Florida, those are the areas that we really target to make sure we're growing demand.
Visit WisconsinDairy.org to learn more.
Markets are closed for the Juneteenth holiday. I'm Stephanie Hoff with the Midwest Farm Report, back with a look at some agribusiness news. If you're looking to serve on your local Farm Service Agency Committee, USDA is now taking nominations. These county committees make decisions about how federal farm programs are administered here locally. You can visit the Farm Service Agency online to see if your area is having an election. In other news, Wisconsin Farmers Union is hosting day camps around the state this summer for students to learn about agriculture and leadership. If you're already hearing from your kiddos that they're bored sitting at home, this is a great way for them to meet people, have fun, and get interested in agriculture. Get signed up today at WisconsinFarmersUnion.com. I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, showers and thunderstorms are possible. Partly sunny skies and highs in the upper 70s. For tonight, scattered showers and storms and a low of 65. Mostly cloudy, 78 on Thursday with an isolated thunderstorm. For Friday, scattered storms and a high near 87.
Right now, it's 74.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
What is the worst movie franchise? Do you have one, Conrad?
What are your thoughts on Transformers?
I saw one Transformer movie. I think it was the first one. I didn't even know what the hell was going on.
I can't get into them anymore because, you know, it's the same every movie now.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be nice if you knew which Transformer. I know there's, like, testosterone and overload and whatever the, you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
This broad-reaching, well, we can't help people because we can't control how they spend the money, somehow magically doesn't apply to billionaires, doesn't apply to corporations who dodge their taxes every year. The only people who are subject to the conservative morality police are poor people. How dare you?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Maggie Dawn.
Happy Juneteenth, Wisconsin. I'll be joined by Reggie Jackson, former griot of the American Black Holocaust Museum, award-winning author and Wisconsin historian. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
We've been waiting for a long time. Yes, we've been waiting for a long, long time. We've been waiting for a long time. long time, but we ain't gonna wait no more. We're getting ready to rock and roll. We're gonna 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. Well, there's a reason everybody should be shaking in the house tonight. And you should grab your favorite lady and promise her you do it right. Tell Fat Jack to jump back and give you a shot of some booze.
Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show, live on location at Oxner's Park in beautiful Baraboo, Wisconsin, on the cusp, on the edge, in the heart of the Driftless, the Baraboo Bluffs, along with Earl Ingram Jr. here in Baraboo with me, my friend and colleague at Civic Media and our ongoing contributor and senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, Trygve Olsen, in our nation's capital. The boys are back in town. Earl had never been here, Trygve. We took a little hike out last night to Devil's Lake. Well, yeah, the Baraboo Devil's Lake. And let me just tell you, and Earl's open about this. I mean, he's pushing 70, and he's pushing it pretty hard. Right. But let me tell you, we went hiking last night, and I learned a couple of things about Earl. One of them is you do not want to take this man off because he could take me. I'm telling you.
No, man, come on.
I'm still, you're in great shape, Earl.
I'm still erect.
Exactly.
And so I'm still standing, so, yeah. You know.
That also brings up,
for that.
Greg in Waukesha is wondering how tall you are, Earl. He is guessing 7'3". He's one of our blind listeners, so he,
That's right. Yes.
I know Greg. He's been listening to me for a while, and I'm always appreciative. But Greg, at one point in time, I was 5'8", and now, you know, the thing about aging, I'm probably now 5'6.5".
Half's important.
Yeah. But I also used to be able to dunk a basketball. Now I can't jump over a dime. So that's the reality of the aging process.
It's just an honor to be out here. And Earl, Trygve and I went around Wisconsin here. We did our What Makes Wisconsin Great tour. Jay, Matt, and Aaron and I did a version of that last week. Now you and I are out here. And, I mean, you and I had dinner last night at this cool place, and I'll find the name of it so we can plug it. Chris Casper told us about it. It was great.
Oh, delicious.
You had bison meatloaf.
No, absolutely.
Some beer out. It was a local brewery.
It was the Tumbled Rock Brewery. He told me about it as well.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Zombers. The Tumbled Rock Brewery, it's a fantastic, fantastic place. But Earl, you and I commented as we walked along Devil's Lake, we saw families, young people, black, white, Latino, all different folks, just enjoying nature, just enjoying time together. And you come to a place like this, at Oxner's Park in Baraboo, you find out we have so much more in common than we do apart.
Well, you know, America is a great melting pot. And I think sometimes people forget that it's a great melting pot the composition of it denotes that, but when the makeup of, 350 million people, and 14% of that is black people, that's a very small percentage, so you don't understand that it's a melting pot. And so that's got to be what it is. Sometimes we have to come outside of our comfort zones to meet different people. Yeah. And once we meet different people, we'll realize, hey, we're all the same, man. We're human beings. Nothing more, nothing less.
I've got a question for Earl Ingram from Trygve Olsen. Give us a call, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Make it easy, 855-75-CIVIC, C-I-V-I-C, or you can text us on the Civic Media app. If you are listening and you're wondering, where are Todd and Earl at? We are here at Baraboo Oxner's Park. That band you hear behind us, Roscoe Foster and the Rascal Theory. And Earl, you talked to him. How long have they been together?
3 weeks.
3 weeks, Trygve. This band has been together for 3 weeks, and they sound like they've been touring for 10 years.
If I had my choice, I would change the name. But anyway, I don't.
Earl's a marketer.
They're great, man. They're great.
Look, I don't want to bring the conversation down. I want to get one more clip in here, and because both of your opinions matter to me, and I know our listeners as well. Trump's henchman, the goofball Steve Bannon, was given a speech here a day or two ago, and saying the quiet part very, very out loud. I want to get this cut of Steve Bannon calling for violence post the election, and I want to get both your takes on this. This is Steve Bannon from a couple days ago.
If they steal this election, and they fully intend to steal it, this republic ends. Are you prepared to fight? Are you prepared to give it all? Are you prepared to leave it all on the battlefield? Ladies and gentlemen, it's very simple. Victory or death.
Trivi Olson, regular listeners of this show know that you have worked on authoritarianism or against authoritarianism and dictatorships around the world. You're the only person that I know that has been banned from Russia by Vladimir Putin himself. You've written your rules on dealing with authoritarians. This vitriol, these comments by Steve Bannon, I think they're enormously dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, dangerous is the word that I was thinking of, too. It's a slippery slope. There's a history, a long history in the U.S. of people like Father Conklin in Michigan being, you know, pushing the envelope, Hugh Long. But I think this is a little different because, you know, we already have the precedent of January 6th where Donald Trump, you know, having watched lots of colored revolutions up close, you know, what Donald Trump and the people on that stage were saying was to inflame people who had become radicalized, the definition of radicalized, to go and take political action, including hanging Mike Pence. So I think it's dangerous. I think the good news is, though, unlike last time, there is a general realization that it could happen rather than a dismissing. That doesn't happen here. And so I think there will be better preparation. I also think it tells you how desperate they are. I mean, they know they don't represent more than 35% of the country. Most people don't want that. But, you know, again, there's zero-sum actors. For them to win, everybody else has to lose.
And quickly, you've written about this. We've talked about it. You're feeling, correct me if I'm wrong, it's not just November 5th. It's what happens on November 6th about whoever loses and their supporters accepting the results.
Yeah, I mean, democracies only work if that win-win proposition, they work because the losing side accepts governance from the winning side. Power is still zero sum. And that's the win-win that our founding fathers came up with in order to try and form a more perfect union, which we evolve at trying to do. But when one side is unwilling to accept the legitimacy of the other side winning, and that's what Bannon is trying to take the next step, which is inflame violence, and basically we're going to impose rule. And, you know, really, that's what our founders were fighting against.
Yeah. Earl Ingram, great to have you here. I love having you here. I love spending last night with you, having dinner. You have a great shirt on, talking about the late, great John Lewis on your shirt today for those watching on the stream. You went through the civil rights movement. You lived that. You saw violence in this country. Talk to us a little bit. Give us some history, some perspective on guys like this Bannon calling for violence and what it means in your own lived history.
Well, I have to tell you, as a black man in America, I am frustrated to hear the Donald Trumps and Steve Bannons of the world say this outwardly. And we have dialogue and conversation about them calling for violence. I was in Kenosha when Jacob Blake was shot right after Jacob Blake was shot in Kenosha. I was there the next day. I did a show from there. I interviewed Jacob Blake's brother, and I talked to a lot of people from Kenosha. And so the National Guard being called to Kenosha because of the unrest was nothing compared to what took place on January 6th. The magnitude of it, yes, there were blocks burned, several blocks burned in Kenosha. But when you talk about the capital of the United States of America being under duress and the threat that was posed, and yet I'm hearing and still hearing a man be able to come out and warn the United States of America that there's going to be hell to pay if Donald Trump does not win. And I'll tell you something. I've been around long enough to remember, I forgot the name of the Branch Davidians and what transpired. This nation is not going to tolerate, and this is to send a message to all of those folk who have their weapons and who think they're going to somehow overthrow this government. They've been given that rhetoric. They believe that they have a constitutional right to do so because of their right to bear arms and all of that. The United States government is not going to go easy. And just because you are who you are does not mean that you're going to overthrow this government from within.
Right.
This is a message to all of you who may be listening. You really should take heed.
Well, look at all the people who have been convicted in the court of law of January 6th of the insurrection. They did not get away with it.
Yeah, right. That's correct. But people who are making armed threats to the United States government should take heed. The United States government is not going to allow that, and there is a severe price that they will have to pay. Mm-hmm. So when they listen to the Steve Bannons and others of the world, they need to take to be prudent.
Let's go quickly to the phone lines, 855-752-4842. Tom from L.A. on the line. Tom, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Hey, guys. First off, I just want to say that we really need to, as Wisconsinites, which I still consider myself a Wisconsinite, or a Scotty, which I actually don't know the difference between the Wisconsinite and the Scotty anymore. But I think it'd probably be good just to know that in terms of even for politicians. But anyway, what I wanted to say is that, they knew, the billionaire class knew this master plan, and they knew that if they could get Wisconsinites to turn against each other, that they could really do it anywhere else in the country. And I really, really would suggest that when callers call in, all they have to do is go and look at Widow Hendricks and Scott Walker, Divide and Conquer. And Scott Walker totally said to Widow Hendricks, what we're going to do is devise a plan called Divide and Conquer. That's not a new plan, but that was a plan. And then with the money from the Bradley Foundation and the money from the Koch brothers, everything like that, they found a way to actually get to Wisconsin nice people and divide it. So I'd really recommend everybody, happy Juneteenth, by the way, but everybody go on YouTube, look up Widow Hendricks, Scott Walker, Divide and Conquer. Scott Walker is laughing at you Republicans. He is laughing at you right-wing people out there that you fell for it. And I just think we have more in common, like the Packers and beer and Spotted Cow, and things like that, than we do at all have anything different. So
you're talking our language, Tom. So I appreciate the call. Always appreciate you listening out in Los Angeles. Tom Trigby brought up one of our favorite people, tongue-in-cheek. He's right? Scotty Walker used this playbook and won for a while, but ultimately lost.
Yeah, he ultimately lost, but, I say this all the time, right? The thing that I find so reprehensible about what he did is it was all, everything he did, the Divide and Conquer, was all about personal ambition, and that personal ambition that had been harbored. And for the conservatives who are listening, right, there was not a lot of distance, and I felt like this is conservative, from Bill Clinton to Scott Walker. Totally different policies, and Bill Clinton generally was a centrist who did a good job governing. But the reality is both of them aspired to be. And one did with the aims of doing good, I think, Bill Clinton, and the other, Scott Walker, ran to be somebody because that's what he always wanted to be.
Yeah. Well said. In the background, it's Roscoe Foster and the Earl Ingram Band. That's what we're going to call it now. How about that, Earl?
Hey, man. Hey, anytime.
All right. We're going to come on back one final segment of this hour, talk a little bit about Juneteenth. We are here at Oxner's Park in Baraboo for Juneteenth on the Civic Media Radio Network. Come on back.
Yeah.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
Progressive presents 10 things on a food truck owner's to-do list that are harder than getting a commercial auto insurance quote. Stocking the fridge, prepping the stations, finding employees that get along well, finding employees that actually do their job. Looking at you, Gary. Balancing the books, balancing the flavors, having a fresh menu and fresh produce and fresh meat, but never a fresh mouth. But the easiest thing on a small business owner's to-do list? Seeing if you can save on commercial auto insurance. Get a quote in as little as 7 minutes at ProgressiveCommercial.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Coverage subject to policy terms and conditions.
Are you ready to give your business a kickstart? Reach new heights and boost your sales with WRCO Radio. Give Henry a call today at 608-647-2111.
WRCO, this is Henry. How can I give you the business?
That's 608-647-2111. Let WRCO drive your business to success.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
From YouTube, want some everyday people by Arrested Development. We're everyday people. Doesn't matter whether you come from Milwaukee or up there in beautiful River Falls or down in Richland Center, whether you're right here where we're at right now in Baraboo at Oxers Park for a Juneteenth celebration. We're all just everyday people. We're Wisconsinites. It's a great day to be a Wisconsinite. In the background here live, this is fantastic. I wish all of you were here. If you're in Southwest Wisconsin, get your posterior right now to Oxford's Park in Baraboo, because we got Roscoe Foster and the Rascal Theory playing behind us, and they are absolutely, as the kids say, lit.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
It is. They're going to be here until 3 o'clock this afternoon. Come on down. Educate yourself a little bit. Have some great food. How's the food, Earl?
It's great,
some,
man.
Yeah,
it's
had
great.
Some food. Got something to drink. We got community tables here. It's a great day. Trigvi Olson joins us from our nation's capital in Washington, D.C. He and I are going to be taking another statewide tour, 5 cities in 5 days. It's going to be the week before the Republican National Convention on the road to Milwaukee, which we will be at as well. I want to spend a little bit of time, guys, talking about Juneteenth proper. Of course, now a federal holiday. Earl, you talked about President Biden signing this into law, making it a federal holiday in 2021, and is commemorating the emancipation of enslaved African Americans, celebrated every year on June 19th since 1865. And President Abraham Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation, a lot of people are familiar with that, on January 1st of 1863, promising freedom to slaves. But it took over 2 years for the law to make its way across the country as enforcement relied on the advance of Union troops. So when emancipation finally came to Texas, the last state in the to hear the official news as the Southern Rebellion collapsed, the celebration was widespread. And while that date did not mark the unequivocal end of slavery, June 19th became a day of celebration across the United States, created, preserved, and spread by African Americans. Earl, this is a part of American history that we all need to hear.
You know, what's trick? I'm sure in Washington, D.C., there's a tremendous Juneteenth celebration probably been going on. I know in Milwaukee it's 50 years. So it's probably...
Because you were there, the first one.
Yeah, I was at the first one. And so it's probably... They've been celebrating... If it's, we've been celebrating in Milwaukee 50 years, they've been doing likewise in Washington, D.C. But the point that needs to be made is the fact that this history is still barren to far too many people in this nation. And I know I remember people being angry and upset that there was a Juneteenth day. And I remember people used to push back and say, Independence Day is the 4th of July. And so why do we need to have anything other than that? And I remember people being angry about it. But, you know, they were angry about it because they didn't understand. Mm-hmm. And so the only way people are going to ever understand is that they hear more and more about what has transpired, the purpose of things. And sometimes the best way to do things is read them for yourself.
Yeah.
And you'll get the truth of why things are the way they are.
Trey, Earl and I had this discussion this morning at his show. The part of it is just hanging out, and he and I are comfortable with each other. We can be honest with each other. But he brought up a great point. He asked me, Todd, why are white people, and I can only speak for myself, obviously, why are they afraid of this? Or what? But I said, you speak for yourself, Trey, but I said, I think a lot of folks are just like, oh, well, I don't want to say anything that's wrong. Is it black? Is it African-American? I mean, there are some people think that Juneteenth is a part of Kwanzaa. I'm not making that up.
Yeah.
And I think part of it is just right. Like having open discussions and not being afraid just to and not – just be people together.
Yeah, I mean, I think in, you know, there's parts of Wisconsin, right? Like, and maybe this will surprise you. I've said this at other times. I don't know if I've ever said it on the radio, but like where I grew up in River Falls, I never actually had a chance to talk to an African-American person until I was 16 years old. And I got to go out to this thing in Boston. And my roommate, who became my lifelong friend, Tracy Kinslow, was sitting in there. We had both gotten in early. He's from Knoxville, Tennessee, and I came in, and it was a Sunday, and we ended up watching in the fall, and we ended up watching football or baseball, some sports on TV, and it was the beginning of a lifelong friendship. I benefited from that so much because, you know, I wouldn't have had those perspectives. Like, I have learned so much through my life from Tracy. I think he's learned a lot from me, and you know, for a lot of people, they never really had that experience, right? And so it's really fear of the unknown. It's, you know.
Earl?
It's still a pretty amazing thing to me that we're still at this point. My father died at 94, 3 years ago. They were never able to bridge that gap. His father died. His father's father died. I'm going to die, you know, 70 years old. I'm going to die, and I don't think we'll bridge the gap. Yeah. My son's in their mid-40s. I don't think things are going to change for them either. There has to be some turning point that makes people look at people as people, yeah, and not as somebody obscure or somebody other than human beings and people. And what that's going to take, I don't know. Somebody said on my show the other day, maybe aliens coming down from, you know, a different planet, and then maybe we'll all pull together then.
But sometimes it's perspective and living. Can you tell the story you told me last night in 1 minute about turning 70? What happens?
Oh, well, listen, you know, I was told a long time ago by a wise man that sometimes it takes to you to live to be 70 years old before you really understand what life is all about. And by the time you reach 70, you know, you're on the other side of it. So, you know, you understand. I think I understand more about life now than I ever did in my life. And I'm at that plateau of 70.
Earl said, by the time you reach 70, you got it figured out, but that's the time you're getting ready to check out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Which is unfortunate. It's unfortunate. You'd like it. If you had that wisdom at 20, you'd be pretty smart.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, great thing about life, though.
Yeah.
It's why you're going to savor always... if Detroit ever wins the Super Bowl, Earl.
They should have won last year.
I'll go along with that.
Yeah.
And we, all the three of us, share our hatred towards the Vikings. oh my gosh. Really, Earl? All right, let's end on a good note. Thank you, Trey. We see you on the road. See you next week as well.
Nice meeting you.
Come on back.
Yeah,
we got
nice
more here
you,
live
too,
in Baraboo from Oxford Park with Earl Ingram and more on the other side. Don't go anywhere in Civic Media.
News from the center, WRCE. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin joins us at 11 o'clock. All things sports with J.R. Redcliffe and weather and wine with Brittany Merlot. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Looking for a roundup of the day's important headlines in quick podcast form? Search no more. Find it now on the WRCE website at WRCE.fm, your news just for the Richland Center area. I'm Joanne Krulatz with WRCE News.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.